Now have your attention, please. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Sonny Jalabel, Odiah Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Sonny Jalabel, Barzillai Hawkins, and I would like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's now a great privilege and honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Yisrael now entering the sanctuary. Now it's a great privilege and honor to present to you the son of Yisrael, Yeshaya Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Is everyone rejoicing today? Great. The title of my speech today is Unity Through Rejoicing. As we know, the theme for this feast, for this upcoming feast, is unity. And one very important thing that we must do to come into unity with Yahweh is to rejoice at the feast. Let's see what Yisrael Hawkins has taught us about rejoicing in the sixth book of Yisrael, chapter 29, verse 54. It says, verse 16, rejoice always. Keep that in mind, that we're told that, and the feast should teach you this. Because you've been practicing that. That's the number one thing that Yahweh tells you to do at the feast. Rejoice. Yes, Yahweh tells us to rejoice at the appointments with Yahweh, including the Feast of Tabernacles, which we're getting ready to celebrate. Please turn over in your books, Yahweh, to Deuteronomy 16, verse 13. Deuteronomy 16, verse 13. On page 161, Deuteronomy 16, verse 13. It says, you must observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days. Now skip down to verse 15. 7 days you must keep a joyous feast. What type of feast are we supposed to keep?
Joy.
Yes, a joyous feast to Yahweh your Father at the place He will choose for you. For Yahweh your Father will bless you in all your income and in all the work of your hands, so you will surely have joy. So Yahweh doesn't say keep a grumpy feast or a depressed feast. He says keep a joyous feast. When we do this, we're in unity with the one sent and pastor who are going to be rejoicing at the feast too. What causes us to rejoice? Is it the 44 acres? Yes. Is it the great food? Yes. Is it the attitude of servitude in Yahweh's people? Yes. All of these do cause us to rejoice. But most importantly, it is the education we receive that will help us become in unity with Yahweh. From the fifth book of Yisrael, chapter 24, verse 39, it says, let's get back where we were yesterday. We were talking about rejoicing at the feast. You should rejoice in what you have the opportunity to learn here at Yahweh's feast. It is a time of learning, a time of joy. You take joy in what you learn, what you're learning, because these are going to be the tools you will use forever. And Pastor has taught us so many wonderful things that help us rejoice. So if we learn what to teach and keep paying attention to the sermons, we learn how to teach others how to rejoice so they can rejoice with us. In conclusion, let's turn over to Yochanan 13, verse 17, in your books, Yahweh, on page 831, Yochanan 13, verse 17. It says, if you understand these things, joyful are you when you do them. So let's all plan to be in unity for this upcoming feast with Yahweh and Yisrael Hawkins by rejoicing together. And praise Yahweh. And with this, I'll turn it over for prayer.
I'll turn it over to the great son of Yisrael Abel, Deacon Shlomo Hawkins. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Today I'm going to be talking about positive law number two. Positive law number two. And it reads, submit to Yahweh as the supreme head to be in unity with Yahweh. And that's Deuteronomy 6:4. If you go ahead and turn to Deuteronomy 6:4, it's on page 152. Deuteronomy 6:4, and it reads, "Hear, O Israel, Yahweh is our Father, Yahweh is one." And if you look at that side note C, it says Hebrew Akkad. Although this word is often used in the Hebrew language as the numeral or number one, it's still even as the numeral number one, the symbol of unity in all languages. Alright, so in all languages, this scripture here means Yahweh is one, Yahweh is unity. Alright, so we have to submit ourselves and be in unity. In the Webster's Dictionary, the word submit means to yield to authority, to subject to a condition or treatment or operation, to present or propose to another for review, consideration, or decision, to put forward as an opinion or contention. All right, so it means to yield to authority or to subject to a condition. All right, so this is what we have to do. We have to become in unity or yield. All right, we have to yield to the authority or subject to a condition or be in unity. From the Law Commentary, on page 16, it says, "This is a positive commandment for all generations that must be adhered to in order to be a part of Yahweh's family and a part of Yahweh's kingdom. No one will be allowed to enter into Yahweh's kingdom unless they become one, like-minded, without deviation, in complete unity with Yahweh." All right, so we have to be in complete unity in order to enter this kingdom. It says, "This commandment is telling us that we must hear, listen attentively, and practice the word of Yahweh. Therefore, we must study Yahweh's word in order to come to the full understanding of His plan. We have to understand that we need to become one, that is, in unity with Yahweh, and with each other, meaning we need to become like-minded with Yahweh Himself. This entails taking on Yahweh's character by actually living and practicing the same way Yahweh Himself lives." All right, so we have to become like Yahweh Himself. On page 24, it says, "It is the teaching of Yahweh's law by His house, under the guidance of Yahweh, that brings us into unity with Yahweh and each other." All right, so it's the teaching and practicing of Yahweh's law that brings us in unity. Yahweh reveals His will to His house so that those He appoints to be teachers can teach Yahweh's will to the people. It is Yahweh's law working in our lives that brings us to the same perfection and unity with Yahweh that Yahshua Messiah achieved. All right, so we have to keep Yahweh's laws in order to be in unity with Yahweh. All right, and then in the conclusion of this law, it says, it is we who must become unified with Yahweh. It is we who must conform to the perfect standard in which Yahweh himself lives. It will be those who become perfect who will be in Yahweh's kingdom. All right, so we have to become perfect. And Yahshua said the same thing if you turn to Matithia 5, it's on page 732, verse 48. It says, therefore, become perfect just as your Father who is in heaven is perfect. Alright, so Yahshua said, become perfect as Yahweh, because Yahweh keeps his own laws. Yahweh will not allow anyone to enter into his kingdom who is not willing to live by the same righteous laws that he himself lives by. Because Yahweh knows that his righteous laws bring peace, love, and joy that this world now searches for, but is unable to find. All right, so that's what these laws bring, and you can see it at Yahweh's house, the peace, the love, the joy, but the world is still searching for these things. All right, and that's why you still see the wars, the diseases, the famines, all these things. You see this because they're not living by Yahweh's laws. All right, from the book of Yisrael, it says, this is verse 40, it says, well, here in Matithia 24 now, he said the Savior, of course, was talking about the end time, which time we're in right now, and looking for the nuclear wars that are going to take place. All right, and then he says that they're going to hit the United States first when it's at its weakest point. All right, because if you remember, the United States is the chief of the nations. All right, so they're at the top, and they have the most wars, and they spend all their money on these wars, right, or on the nuclear bombs to destroy the earth. All right, so it says, and when they start falling among themselves, one of the downfalls of governments, because they have nothing. They have nothing that guides them. It's just power over power. All right, so nothing guides them, all right, and because they're not in unity, so they're going to keep having these wars. It says, with Yahweh, Yahweh's kingdom has a guide. It's 613 laws, and of course the unity of the people in saying, I'm willing throughout the rest of eternity to keep those laws and govern my life by them. All right, and then you can be a part of that kingdom. So he's saying that we have to learn to love these laws and practice them in our life, and that's when we'll be in Yahweh's kingdom. But that's what will keep Yahweh's kingdom forever. All right, it's these laws that will keep, and us being in unity, that will keep us together in Yahweh's kingdom. That's the reason it will stand forever, because it will stand in unity. And those who won't unify themselves, of course, they simply won't be there. But the ones who are, we will teach the universe, and will bring the whole universe into subjection before Yahweh's plan is finished. All right, so once we prove ourselves to be worthy of this kingdom in unity with the teachings of the house of Yahweh, when we're in unity, then we will go out and teach the universe and bring the universe into subjection. In Yahweh's kingdom, everyone will be in unity, or you simply won't be there. That's pastor's words. It says, well, here in Matithia 24:7, you can see the pestilence, the diseases, and of course, we're shown that these laws, if you break them, then that brings the diseases and stuff. He says, verse 12, because iniquity will abound, the love of the many will grow cold. All right, and you can see in the United States, in their unity, it's called the United States, but it's not really united. All right, and you see the love is only growing cold, and wars are breaking out because of it. The love grows cold. If you turn to Ephesians 2, it's on page 917. Ephesians 2 and verse 20. It says, "And are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Yeshua Messiah himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole house, being fitly joined together by Yahweh's unity, grows into the holy house of Yahweh. And in him, you are also being built together to become the holy house of Yahweh through the Spirit." All right, so we're built on the foundation of Yeshua, the apostles, the prophets, all of them, and when we're in unity with the things that they brought out, the teachings and stuff, the prophecies, when we're in unity, that grows the holy house of Yahweh. And Yeshua was in unity with Yahweh's laws, and he said that if you're not in unity, then Satan becomes your teacher. If you turn to Yochanan 8 and verse 43, it's on page 824. Verse 43 says, "Do you know why you cannot understand my language? Because you cannot hear my word. You reject the law and the prophets." And he says, "You are of your teacher, who is Satan the devil, and whatever she who is your teacher desires, you will do. She was a murderer from the beginning, and remained not in the truth, because there is no truth in her. Therefore, when you speak your falsehoods, you speak her words, because she is a liar and the teacher of all lies." Verse 47, "He who is of Yahweh hears Yahweh's words, the law and the prophets. Now you do not hear, because you are not of Yahweh." All right, so he's saying there that the world doesn't understand these things, or they're not, they still have the diseases and stuff because they are not of Yahweh. They're not keeping Yahweh's laws. All right, so stay in unity with Yahweh, the house, the things that are being taught. And remember, strive to keep this law. Submit to Yahweh as the supreme head, to be in unity with Yahweh. And with that, if everyone will please stand. Let's turn it over to the great Kahan Kiefer Reynolds Hawkins.
There you go. Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I have to reference a lot of different books today, so I didn't want to be just reading, you know, without being able to share. So I brought it so we can read along. But praise Yahweh. The title that I'd like to talk about today is "To Whom Tribute Belongs." To Whom Tribute Belongs. This is a very exciting subject to me, because you could see a change going on, you know, right now, and you could see the things in action that we've been waiting for, that we've been waiting to see for so long, that you know that we're right there at the point where you know, we're going to finally get to be able to show the world, you know, what the house of Yahweh is really about, you know. It's a pretty awesome thing to look forward to. You have to have these prophecies in your mind, though. You know, there's so many deceptions in this world. And it's real easy to get caught up and get sidetracked on things. Brethren, don't take this lightly, the deception that's in the world right now. You know, there's no reason for any of us to fall for it, but make no mistake, if you do take it lightly and you want to have one foot in the world and one foot in the house of Yahweh, you're not going to make it. And you know, it would be the most stupid thing a person can do right now in this moment of history to lose this opportunity. You know, because we are right here, as we're going to see. You know, this is a work building up. Back in 2004, one of the greatest things that's ever taken place on the face of the earth took place in the house of Yahweh. And I don't know, I can see your mind's racing to it. And in 2004, a work was introduced that would actually prepare us to make a connection with Yahweh. Those were the books of Israel. You know, think of what an awesome help these books of Israel have been in us developing our teaching skills, being able to put these subjects together. Without these books, we would not be able to do it. You know, this was a miraculous thing that was done. So this collection of sermons called the Book of Israel was created, and it gave us this great increase in understanding in the way of salvation, which is needed for us to finish the work that Yahweh has called us here to do. So now that Yisrael Says program is available for everyone to use, this is the next greatest creation ever taken place on the earth. You know, anybody with a pot of coffee and an internet connection can put together a perfect sermon, you know, because the Yisrael Says program, it doesn't just give you like a key word. You know, it's like it used to drive me crazy with the center references in the King James Version. It's like you would be interested in a topic and you'd look at the center reference and it would tell you where that word was used. But it wouldn't, you know, it would never elaborate on anything. It would just be kind of giving you a clue where else that word was used. But the Yisrael Says program in these sermons, Pastor expounds on all these topics. And if you put them all together, you cannot walk away from that without a perfectly clear vision of whatever topic it is that you're researching. You know, so it's really an exciting thing to live in this time period where these great tools are given to mankind for the first time ever, and we've got a front row seat to it. So that's truly exciting. But I wouldn't have been able to write this sermon without the Book of Israel program. And a matter of fact, I'm going to start off in one of the books of Israel. This is the 12th Book of Israel, Part 1. Okay, and I want to talk about where we're at, and you know, in the house of Yahweh, because Yahweh, I mentioned in the beginning, you know, we're making this connection with Yahweh. We've been working on making this connection with Yahweh for a long time now. And remember, in 2011, Pastor first saw his first sign from heaven in the clouds, and this kind of started more and more of these things to be seen on a regular basis here in the house of Yahweh, to where now they are regularly seen in the house of Yahweh. And I know that to some this could be something that you look at as being skeptical, and I would greatly warn against that, you know, because as we'll get to, hopefully, you know, the apostles, the prophets, they all had seen, you know, certain things like this. Yahweh has always confirmed his work, and he's done it through these types of signs at various times if you read the scriptures. You know, but Pastor says here, and this is chapter 2, page 12, this is the 12th book of Israel, part 1, chapter 2 and verse 4. And he said, "But after I saw this first one, the donkey, Yahweh started bringing my memory to other scriptures." And of course, they added up to the fact that Yahweh is going to communicate to us. Yahweh is going to communicate to us, but it's more than just a communication to us. It's a protection. It's a protection of this work. And if you mock these things, you're mocking Yahweh's protection and his communication to his house. You know, it puts you in a pretty dangerous predicament. And I know sometimes things are hard to see, they're hard to be understood when they get rushed through. But remember, this is the house of Yahweh. You know, false information, false doctrine is not taught here. It won't exist here ever. You know? And if you understand prophecy, you ought to know that already. You know, but if you know anything about our overseer, you should know that already. he just simply won't allow it. You know, and we're so blessed to have somebody like that we can rely on. You know, I wanted to show something here. I'm falling a little bit behind. I got to need to zoom out. Okay, I hope everybody can see that. You know, when I first saw this after the Feast of Passover, last this year, the Feast of Passover, And, you know, it's just been something that's been stuck in my mind ever since, because I don't know if you know, sometimes people see different things, but you ought to be able to see that there's an outline of an animal right here. A tail, something on his back, ears, head, and then there's one here in the shadows. And if you notice, this one's got two horns on it. And one of the things that really made this stick out in my mind, and I've been thinking about it since then, so I don't know how many months that is. But last night I finally, through the Yizzle Says program, was able to put a few missing pieces together. And one of the words, you know, the actual picture number. Here's the information on that. So it was on my phone, photo number 828. That was the date, 4/12/2015, at 6:20 p.m., which is 18:20 if you do the 24-hour time. There's a word that I never knew existed. Word number 828. This is it's something that the scholars weren't really sure, because it's a person's name. The person's name is Ashpenaz. It's word number 828, and I was only able to find this on one site. This is the Blue Letter Bible site. But if you look at the name, I'll try to get that to where you can see it, hopefully. I will make prominent the sprinkled. Why would that make sense to anybody else in the world? I don't know. You know, but that's the meaning of the person's name for that number, 828. I will make prominent the sprinkled. And as you might remember, the last time I spoke, I spoke on that word prominence because it was on my mind from this event. But the word prominence, let me get to here, or prominent. Sorry, all the different size lettering, I got to zoom in and out. But prominent means to be important, famous, well-known, leading, distinguished, or influential. But also, it means projecting from something. So it's real clear to see, like it's sticking out. Now, if you go back to the picture, you see that there's this animal in the front is prominent. It's sticking out. It's raised. It's very outlined, while the one in the back is fading away. Now, I'd ask the great Kohan when I seen this, the one who deals with these signs, you know, I'd asked him about this picture, because to me, the only thing I was thinking of was, of course, a donkey. And he said, you know, to me, it looks more like a camel. And, you know, as I looked, I said, you know, he's got a point there. I don't know what a camel would have to do with anything. So he actually was, he helped me see a few things. I want to show you the Hebrew word for camel. Let me zoom back in. Sorry about the blurriness there. But it's in the sense of labor or burden bearing. And then it comes from, it's word number 1581. But it comes from word number 1580, which means to treat a person well, to benefit, to ripen, to wean, to reward bountifully, a weaned child. You know, all this is in the meaning of the word camel, which I'd never thought to look at before any of this. Some of the other numbers here. The 6:20 and the 18:20. Now, I remembered, I've already pointed this out, that this animal in the back has two horns. The reason I know that is from the word 6:20. And ironically, this was another one of those words that was somebody's name, but it had a meaning that was very difficult to find. So, through the same source, I was able to find the meaning of that word. And don't know if anybody can see that or not, but the word means horned bull. That's the actual word. So, you know, I was able to put together a few things just from the picture and from the words and the meanings of the words about that particular picture. And I noticed this big dark cloud almost looked like it's covering or protecting. I'll get this right one of these days. Here we go. It's covering this animal, this working animal here. So I went to, you know, the book of Israel to look more into a lot of these words. But first off, you know, I wanted to point out about the bull in the background, because a lot of people may not know the bull is symbolic in many references to Marduk, Baal. These are pictured as a bull. And that system, as we'll get through a few of the other words hopefully here, is crumbling and falling. That's also in the words from this picture. As a matter of fact, the 24-hour time, 1820, to cease, to be cut off, to destroy, to perish, to be undone, and also in Greek, is to be at a loss, to renounce all hope and be in despair. So the one thing I kept noticing about all the numbers with this is that they were 100% in agreement, whether Greek, Hebrew, pointing to something. And this, you have to remember the time period right after Passover. We were talking about the great race that is set before us, right? This was, Pastor really brought this out at that feast, at Yeshua's memorial. He started talking about it. Well, if you see, there's two animals, and one, even though it's in the front right now, is fading away, while the other one's being made prominent. Okay, and you may not see that from news articles and things like that at the moment, but you do see it in prophecy. As a matter of fact, if you turn to Isaiah 5, or Isaiah 4, I need to get on with the sermon here. Isaiah 4, and look at verse 2. Because this is really an incredible picture that Yahweh gives us here. Isaiah 4 and verse 2. This is found on page 532 of your book of Yahweh, where he says, "In that day, the branch of Yahweh will be beautiful," that is, brought to prominence, "and glorious, promoted to honor, and the fruit of the earth will be excellent and comely for those who are escaped to Israel." Now, that verse all in itself, you can make probably 20 sermons out of that one verse if you really went into depth and explained all the things that are just said there. But for time's sake, you could just go to YisraelSays.com and type in the word prominence, and you would be given the three times where it's mentioned in the books of Israel, because each one adds another part of the puzzle. And this is the 12th book of Israel, part 2. And that's chapter 23 and verse 42. I don't know. It might take me too long to zoom in and out. But it's page 192. I'll try to read it here with you. But it says, the branch of Yahweh would be beautiful. And we added the words brought to prominence. Well, that's true, because Yahweh, the glory it's talking about here, the glory, that is what you're going to be sharing in. There's nothing wrong with sharing in the glory of Yahweh. Yahweh inspired Yeshua to say Yahweh gave him power to resurrect the dead. So men would honor him as they honor Yahweh. Now, you're Yahweh's children. This is what Pastor's telling us, and he's going to glorify you. You know, when you look at the world, and I'm going to give you an example that from one of the other books of Israel, the 13th book of Israel, I think 13th book of Israel, part 1. Now, this is talking about a different individual, but it's still on the same topic of prominence. And this is chapter 14 of the 13th book of Israel, part 1, chapter 14, in verse 96. And he says, and out of one, and he's talking about a prophecy in Daniel 7. You could start turning there if you'd like. And out of one them came forth a little horn, which grew exceedingly great, towards the south, towards the east, and towards the land of beauty. And Pastor says, now that's not the land of beauty, and it's not Israel. Everything goes wrong when they start interpreting these scriptures. This right here is he grew strong in all his prominence, in the sense of prominence. In all of these cities, in all of these nations, he grew strong in prominence and splendor, and he had it all going his way, in other words. And look at verse 99, or I'm sure you don't have it with you, but I'm going to look at verse 99. He says, he magnified himself as high as the prince. That's in verse 11 of Daniel. That is Yeshua himself. Now, all the things that are being spoken of about this pope, if you ever read the articles, which you have to, if you look at any kind of news, there's all these articles about the pope. Everything's about the pope. Oh, he's like Jesus, you know, he's just like Jesus, right? he gives to the poor. It's like nobody knows anything about the scriptures except give to the poor, you know, and they get all that mixed up. This is taking place right before our eyes. Now, the pastor gave this sermon back in 4-2 of 13. After the pope had just been in office not quite a month yet. So you see the foresight that the scriptures give an individual when you trust in the scriptures. And of course, the witness has been given an extreme foresight to be able to tell us all in advance. All these things that are taking place right now, we knew a long time ago. You know? But this prominence that you see, if you can get it in your mind, when the pope goes somewhere and all the news media is there and they're all taking pictures and the crowds are cheering, that prominence is what is truly due to the house of Yahweh. You know, but they're thieves, they're liars, they're robbers. We know this, right? But if you turn over to Genesis 10 and 49, there's a cutoff. There's a cutoff date to all this mess. Genesis 49 and verse 10. He says that the scepter will not depart from Yada, nor a ruling staff from between his feet, until he comes whom tribute belongs, and the obedience of the nation of his. Now, this, of course, is talking about Yeshua, but remember, we are Yeshua's work. Pastors is, you know, the work is together. You know, we're doing this work. We will receive this same elevation, this same prominence. And it's not to be proud or to lift us up above others in that way at all. You know, but the work of Yahweh will be seen for what it is, which is the greatest gift that's ever been given to mankind. You know, and all these teachings will be made known, and people will willfully reject the insane deception that they've chosen for themselves right now. You know, they have all these Hollywood people, Follywood people in D.C. and all these different places right now promoting this great historic event. The books of Israel were a historic event. This is just another path down the wrong way. But one of the famous Hollywood, I don't know a nice word to call her, so I'll just call her a singer. You know, one of the things that she had said, she's spoken of the pope. She endorses this pope. She said, only fools follow the rules. And that's why I like this pope. He seems to be very open-minded. She said that on Thursday after her performance in, what's that place? Philadelphia. So, you know, you see that even in their words, that they're telling you, this is the man of sin. There's no righteousness in this system. Everything that they're talking about peace is not going to be bringing peace. But of course, right now, they're building it up. They're building up the hype, you know, very, very much so, to make you think like, hey, you know, we're finally going somewhere. You know, we're going to end 17 things now, all of a sudden. We weren't able to do it before, but now all of a sudden everybody's going to be fed. Everybody's going to be educated. You know, we'll all get along. Nobody will hate each other. The air will like us. We'll stop polluting the air by something or another. You know, all these things that they're promoting, but they're not really telling you how they're going about achieving any of it. You know, that's the secret move on the sly. But what they've been doing systematically for a long time now is dumbing the people down to accept this mess that they're pushing forth right now. And we're excited about this, not because of their deception, but we're excited because we know we know about the big backfire that's about to take place, you know, in a big way. And brethren, you know, we have the opportunity now to take our spot that Yahweh had called us here to take. So, you know, we need to be thinking on these things. You know, we need to be 100% in unity with the house of Yahweh. But we need to be preparing for it. You know, this great Day of Atonement, this was the best Day of Atonement I think I've ever had. And, you know, I had the privilege to hear from a group of young men that I would be glad to put against any scholar in the face of the earth. I mean, they were awesome. I felt like I was like in a university setting, and just how in detail they were, all speaking on the same subject, but each one giving out a little bit more and making it so clear that only a fool like that Hollywood entertainer there would have walked away not understanding the beauty of Yahweh's plan. And brethren, that's the kind of excitement that I'm talking about. When you see these things, you know, you need to have this picture in your mind. You know, Yahweh called us here for a work. And I know at times we get caught up struggling, suffering. Okay, keep your mind where you're going, and you won't think about those things so much. So at this time, if you would all please stand. I'm going to gather all my books here. I do have the privilege to turn the services over to a great and awesome priest in the house of Yahweh, the great Kohan Nathaniah Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh, saints of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. You may all be seated. You know, it's interesting, again, you know, how Yahweh works. Because I was, the direction that I wanted to take with this lesson is, I mean, you could go so many places with it. But what the great Kohan said was an awesome priest, which, I mean, the house of Yahweh is awesome. And that's why any of us would be awesome at all. But I guess Yahweh was telling me where he wanted me to go with this. I don't know if you all remember the Seeds of Israel. Okay, this one is from 2003. I've been carrying this one. I mean, I'm trying my darndest not to have it all tattered and broken up, and it's falling apart before my very eyes. But the lesson that I wanted to give today, to bring today, was in conjunction with the great Kohans, and everything that Pastor has been asking us to bring forward is concerning unity. And what it means to be in unity. Not only what it means, but how we do it as individuals. Okay? Because that unity has the word unit in it. And if you look up the word unit, it means a conglomeration of a whole. Okay? And we see in the scriptures that Yahweh has fitly joined us together so we can be this perfect body of Messiah. But one of the things that Father Yahweh wants us to know about himself and about us, about Yahshua Messiah, about Yisrael, is that we're moving toward this awesome position, awesome position in Yahweh's kingdom. Okay, so one of the attributes that's found in Exodus 34, just for your notes, Exodus 34 and verse 10, is concerning being awesome. That Yahweh himself is awesome. And that we need to take on the characteristics, that characteristic trait of being awesome. Well, how do we do that? Okay, it's written here in the Seed of Israel. Okay, and this Seed of Israel was from Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread 2003. Okay, it says here, Here Yahweh shows his love and care for his people. Not only does he say, I will do an awesome thing for you or for us, but he also says he will do an awesome thing with us. Okay, that he will do an awesome thing with us, that we will be shown to be the ones whom Yahweh has loved. Okay, in true servitude, true love, and true unity, taking on this unity. He speaks of the word that he will accomplish with us since we are in his workmanship. We are becoming like Father Yahweh. As such, he is preparing us to be in his likeness so that one day we will be able to appear in his presence. This is what Yahweh is doing for us right now. Okay, we'll be able to come and appear in Yahweh's presence. And we are practicing that right now because we are in each other's presence and we are Yahweh to each other. But one of the definitions in the same publication from American Heritage Dictionary of the word awe, to be in awe. Okay, as it if you'll go over to Hebrews, if you go to Hebrews chapter 12. Okay, Hebrews chapter 12 in your books of Yahweh. And it's found on page 951. Actually, 952. Okay? Hebrews 12 and page 9. We're going to go to verse 28 on page 952. It says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have and hold humility. Okay? Since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us have and hold humility. The only way that we can have and hold humility or this unity is by being in unity with Yahweh's laws. Okay, we're going to see that very clear. But this is what Yahweh wants to give us. He says, by which we may serve Yahweh acceptably with reverence and awe. Okay, within this servitude, we become awesome, like Yahweh is awesome. Okay? So that's just a little bit of encouragement. You know, it's amazing how Yahweh guides and directs, especially when we're in unity with Yahweh's teacher, the last day's anointed witness that he has given us. If you have the opportunity, see if you could get that the seed of Israel. Those were some excellent. I don't want to create any more work for the great priests and the deacons who are in the press room, but those were some awesome publications. If you would, keeping with the theme of unity, let's go over to 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 12. Okay, and let's see, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 12. Okay, and that's on page 895. On page 895. And I'm sure you're going to hear this scripture many times before, you know, the time period is up. Okay, but this is concerning one body in unity, the body of Messiah. Okay, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 12. For just as the body is a unity, but yet has many members. If you remember the definition of the word unit, is a conglomeration of a whole, okay, or a portion of the whole. And though all its members are many, they are on one body, or they are in unity, okay? They are all on and in unity, one body. So it is with Messiah. Okay? That unity is of Yahshua Messiah, the same one who eventually was recognized, and we'll see it later, as the ultimate result of the keeping of Yahweh's laws. Okay? Verse 13, for by one spirit we were baptized into one body, whether Yadayim or Greek. We came from all walks of life. Okay? And Yahweh brought, he did, he said he would, bring the worst of the worst to the house of Yahweh. Okay? That is a badge. I'm glad you guys clapped for that. That is a badge of honor. Okay? Yes, we are the worst of the worst. But Yahweh is making us into the purest of the pure. He says, whether slave or free, all have been made to drink into this one spirit. Okay? All have been made to drink into this one way of thinking. Yahweh has given us his heart. He's given us his mind. He's given us his likes. He's given us his desires that we would be strengthened in these things. If you turn over to 1 Corinthians 11, which is just on the same page, okay, we're going to go to verse 27. And this scripture is concerning the Feast of Unleavened Bread, okay? And Yahshua's memorial. But there's some points here that Yahweh wants us to really realize, okay? And know that this is how unity is bred, okay? That Yahweh has seen fit to allow us to experience certain things in order to be in unity, okay? So in verse 27, it says, therefore, who will eat this bread and drink this cup of Yahshua Messiah? Who will be in this unity? Okay? Whoever will eat or drink this bread, this cup of Yahshua Messiah unworthily will be guilty of the body and blood of Yahshua. Okay? Now, of course, we don't want to partake of it unworthily, but this scripture goes further to show us what it is to be unworthy or to take of it not being worthy of it. Okay? It says here in verse 28, but let a man examine himself. So let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he who eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself. Now look at these last words in verse 29. Not discerning the body. And you can interject between himself and not, you can interject by. Okay, so we read that scripture. It says in verse 29, for he who eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself by not discerning the body. For this reason, now listen to this part, verse 30. For this reason, many are weak, and many are sick among you, and many sleep. Remember, we know that the scripture shows that many will be given to death in order to try and to test the called out ones. Okay? But the reason why Yahweh allows us to go through these sufferings is so that we can learn to discern the body. It's not because, praise Yahweh. It's not because Yahweh wants to see us suffer. Yahweh wants to see us in pain. Yahweh wants to, you know, because he's a vengeful God. You broke my laws and now watch what I'm going to do to you. Bam. You know, that's not what Yahweh wants to see. He wants us, each and every one of us, to be able to discern the body. Okay, and that discerning of the body, we're going to find out what that is. If you would turn over to the book of Timothy. Okay, 1 Timothy 1 and verse 5. That's on page 933. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 5. And actually, hold your spot there, and if you would, go over to the book of Romans. Romans in chapter 10. Okay, let's go over to Romans chapter 10, verses 1 to 4. Okay, it says, brothers, my heart's longing and prayer to Yahweh for Israel. Okay, now this is Israel, the children of Israel, okay? Is that they may be saved. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for Yahweh, but their zeal is not according to knowledge. They are zealous for Yahweh. They're willing to call on the name of Yahweh. They're willing to comfort to Yahweh's Sabbath. But to say that they're taking Yahweh's information and the instructions that comes from the house of Yahweh to themselves, he said here, they don't have that knowledge. Since they, being ignorant of the righteousness that comes from Yahweh and seek to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to Yahweh's righteousness. For Yahshua is the ultimate result, okay? He's the ultimate result of keeping the law unto righteousness for everyone who believes. Okay, Yahshua Messiah is the ultimate result of this. And we are the body of Messiah. Okay, let's, if you remember it, when we were in 1 Corinthians. But if you'll turn back over to Timaiah, 1 Timaiah 1. Remember, Yahshua Messiah is the ultimate result of keeping Yahweh's laws. Okay, now we see here in 1 Timaiah chapter 1 and verse 5. It says the ultimate result of the law is love. Okay? The ultimate result of the law is love. Love is not a primary, situation. It's not something that's there first. It comes through knowledge. It comes through education. Okay? That's why we have the peaceful solution to further break it down. Remember, in times past, they had the Ten Commandments to try to keep a handle on mankind, because mankind was like a brute beast wanting to go awry. Yahweh said, look, give them the Ten Commandments. That'll hold them until I establish my house. Okay, he went further to establish his house and then gave his house the peaceful solution. Yes, he gave us the scriptures. He did. But look at how many of us still fall into various things, having these scriptures looking right back at us. But he gave us the peaceful solution to break it down to bite-sized pieces, right? Break it down to bite-sized pieces so that we then have no excuse. And we would then learn how to be those awesome teachers also. But something that we have to understand is unity is a symptom, okay? Unity is a byproduct of righteousness. Okay? Unity is a byproduct of righteousness. Maybe someone can make a t-shirt of that or something. Okay? Unity is a byproduct of righteousness. So what we see here is now the ultimate result of the law is love. Out of a pure heart, a clear conscience, and unfeigned, which is genuine faith. Okay? An unfeigned, which is a genuine faith, is what Yahweh is expecting of each and every one of us. And how did we build that genuine faith? Yahweh told us already, okay? He showed us earlier in Corinthians about discerning the body. Yahweh allows us to go through trials and allows us to go through tests. That's why he said, these ones who don't partake in the body and the blood of Messiah, if they partake of it unworthily, they do so by not discerning the body. Go back and read it. When we do not discern the body, we partake of these things unworthily. And discerning the body, Yahweh said, you know what? I know these people. These are my creation. I created them with a swollen heart. Their emotions, the way that they think is all out of control. The way that I could get these people to settle down and discern the body is through suffering. And, the thing is that Yahweh he's not standing, in the third heaven looking down on us and just laughing every time we stub our toe or every time we rub our brother wrong or step on our sister's shoes. He's not that's not what Yahweh wants. What Yahweh wants through all of these things, and he said, this is why you have sickness among you. In order to humble you, in order to humble us, that we would be humbled. Okay? I want to go into the 11th book of Yisro. I don't have much time, but I want to go into the 11th book of Yisro, the end of the ages, part 2. Okay? And it's chapter 5, and we're going to go from a page, for those of you who have your books of Yisro with you, your 11th book. Page 47, and we're going to start in verse 81. Okay, because Pastor, in this sermon, Pastor was speaking about confessions and that the priestesses have the ability to forgive the sins of the women. The priests have the ability to forgive the sins of the men, which is according to Yahweh's administration. Okay, this is what Yahweh had set up in order that we would be brought closer to him and brought in this unity. But in verse 81, it says here in Matthew 24, he says this here. He says in verse 14, the message is going to be preached to all the world. Well, you know that's our job. Of course, with us, you know, every person is a part of our difficulty. Okay, so with us, all of us in here, we are all a part of our own difficulty. I can't believe he said that to me. I can't believe she said that to me. I was trying to do this and they told me no, and I had to go to my counselors, and then my counselors told me this, and they, you know, this is that difficulty. And why did Yahweh allow this difficulty in his house? So that we would discern the body. Every person will be part of our heritage. Yahweh said they're going to come and they're going to be part of our heritage. You know, if we straighten that person out, getting him or her to doing the laws of Yahweh, they will be part of this heritage. Because if they become part of the kingdom, they will work with us throughout all eternity as our helpers. And we will help one another. Verse, let's see here. Is that where I want to go? Okay, let's go to, verse 82. If we do not get them to where they can control their mind, their thoughts, their emotions, these emotions are what get you in trouble when the power of the body comes down. Okay, when we suffer the sickness, and after you're sick, and you're in your bed, and you can barely move, your stomach is aching, your knees are shaking, everything is going on with you, who's the only person you could cry out to at that moment? Yahweh. And thereby, focusing on Yahweh, actually, though, that's the only, the whole duty of man is to reverence Yahweh alone. Okay, but Pastor says here, your body becomes weak and something occurs, as the psychiatrists say, the brain snaps. You know, because of the weakness of the body. We were talking in one of the classes earlier on in at the last Sabbath on the Day of Atonement. And we were saying that Yahweh showed that Yahshua Messiah took supplements from the womb all the way till he was, you know, died and was resurrected. He ate honey and butter. That was a type of supplement. Yes, he had the nutrients in their food and everything. They were able to sustain themselves in that manner. But the scriptures, prophecy shows that he ate that supplement. And that supplement gave him the strength to continually choose righteousness. Okay? And so the reason why we've been given to this sickness is because we weren't raised like that. You know, we came into the house of Yahweh full of folly and filled to the brim with madness. Okay? And that Yahweh is allowing us to experience the sickness. If you remember, in the days of the children of Israel, Yahweh said, you know what? These children, I tell you, their hearts are swollen. They think that they have all the strength in the world. You know why? Because they haven't experienced war. Okay? And that war wasn't that Yahweh wanted them to go out and kill people. That war was, they haven't experienced the tribulation of having to call on me. You know, and if we learn that characteristic, because this is what Pastor said here in the end of verse 82. You don't know why you did that. Your brain snapped. You started saying things that you regret, and you don't know why you did that. It's not part of your character, but you did it. And of course, Yahshua says you can overcome this. Okay, we can overcome this. It's up to us to do that, to overcome and become in the image and the likeness of Yahweh. Okay, in the image and likeness of Yahweh through this tribulation. If we know why we're going through tribulation, it'll be a joy to endure it. Okay, like, you know, when you're going through tribulations, at the particular moment, it's hard. It's hard to think to Father Yahweh, you know what, I know you're doing something, Yahweh. As a matter of fact, if you go over to Ecclesiastes, which is on 5:20, okay, it's hard for us to say, you know, that Yahweh, you're in total control. As Yahweh showed Pastor in that dream. Yahweh, you are in total control. Let me just humble myself. Let me settle down because I want to say stuff, and I want to. But everything that I know I'm going to say is going to be the wrong thing. You have given me this knowledge that I could choose to say the right thing. So please help me. I'm going to say the right thing. Okay. If you go to Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 2, right? Yahweh knows what he's doing. He's in total control, and he told you in this scripture here. What did Yahweh say? He said, do not be rash or reckless with your mouth. This is Yahweh speaking. Do not be rash or reckless with your mouth. Do not think of hastily uttering a word before Yahweh. Yeah, when you say it to your brother, when you say it to your sister, you're saying it before Yahweh. Another scripture says, look, you're not going to run into the mountains and hide from Yahweh. He can see you there too. If mankind has infrared, imagine what Yahweh has. Okay, so yeah, he says, do not think of hastily uttering a word before Yahweh to your brother, to your sister. He said, for Yahweh is in heaven. I am in heaven. You're on earth. So let your words be few. Okay, I am in heaven. You are on earth. So let your words be few. Focus on strengthening ourselves. We need to focus on strengthening ourselves in the knowledge of Yahweh. Okay? And the only way we can do that is paying attention to ourselves and to the doctrine, not paying attention to what our brother did, not paying attention to... You know, it's easy to blame someone else. But that's why we have the pattern of confessions, because confessions is, you have to look at yourself and go to the body of Yahweh's administration and say, this is what I did. Okay, not this is what Susie Q and all of that did, or what this is what, you know, Yakanan did, or, you know, all of these different excuses. No, he said, pay attention to yourself. I'm in heaven, you are on earth. Let your words be few. Focus on what you need to do as opposed to what you think your brother or your sister needs to do. Okay? And once we do that, let's go over to First Kefa, chapter 2. Okay, this is on 958, on page 958. Okay, First Kefa, chapter 2, and verse 12. First Kefa, chapter 2, and verse 12. Okay, so it says, let's start in verse, let's see. Okay, so let's go with verse 12. It says, having your conduct honest among the Gentiles, so that while slaughtering you as evildoers, they may, by your righteous works, which they observe, glorify Yahweh. While slandering you as evildoers, they may glorify Yahweh in the day of visitation. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for Yahweh's sake, whether to the king as supreme. Okay, so Yahweh is showing us concerning this humility. Okay, that's not exactly the scripture that I wanted to go to, but if you'll go over to page 914 to Galatians. Okay, nonetheless, it's speaking of the authority that Yahweh said that we should honor, and this is part of the unity, part of coming in unity with Yahweh. Okay, but this is what Yahweh wants to see from us. Galatians chapter 6 on page 914. It says, "Brothers, if a man is indeed overtaken in some sin, those of you who are spiritual, those of you who have taken this knowledge of Yahweh, okay, to yourself and are prepared and willing to aid your brother with this genuine, unfeigned faith, okay, a genuine faith. Okay, those of you who are spiritual, strong in the law of Yahweh, restore him in the spirit of humility, considering yourself that you can also be tempted." And if you remember, that's what we saw about Yahshua's memorial. Okay, if we partake unworthily, it's because we didn't consider the body. Okay, that's how to partake of Yahshua's memorial unworthily, is not considering the body. So we have to think about this in our actions, in our conduct, in everything that we do. We have to know what I'm doing right now is not just affecting myself. I'm a unit. Okay? I'm a unit of a whole. And what I do affects everybody in this whole body. And so we just want to be strengthened. We want to keep these things in mind. The unity of Yahweh is what's going to bring us to this completion. Okay? And that means each and every one of us have to be at one. We went through the Day of Atonement. Yahweh blessed us to be afflicted, because he knows suffering is what changes the hearts of the madman into a sane individual. So praise Yahweh. If you'd all please stand. I'd like to turn the floor over to the great Kahan Malachia Hawkins.
Yeah, Shabbat Shalom, man. Saints of Yahweh, you may be seated. So we're going to continue on that same line. You know, Pastor mentioned that the theme of this feast will be on unity. So we're going to continue on that line, because we have to actually know what unity really is. And we have different definitions. We heard a lot of different definitions on what the word unity is. But what it really means, what does unity really mean? Right, because it said here, "O Israel, Yahweh is our Father, Yahweh is one," meaning we're look. Yahweh is in total unity. And that unity is with his laws. It shows that Yahshua was in full unity with Yahweh. So the body of Messiah, we can't be separated. If anyone even think that, they do have to agree with what Pastor is saying and be in unity? By no means. By no means. That individual will not qualify for the kingdom of Yahweh. That individual will be taken out from the house of Yahweh. You have to be joined together. That is what unity means. Fitly joined together. Right? And this is what Solomon said. Let's just look quickly at Ecclesiastic 4, verse 9. It said, "Two are better than one." It said, "Two are better than one, because they will receive a better reward on their investment." Say, if one falls, the other will lift him. The other will lift up his companion, but woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he have no one to help him up. And this is what the whole body of Messiah is based on: lifting up one another. You know, as the scripture said, urge one another when we see that day approaching, well, that day is approaching. You know, salvation is closer now than when we first came to the house of Yahweh. Look at all the prophecies that is taking place right now. And we can actually see how close we are. So that's why you see Pastor is so, Yahshua is working with Pastor so awesomely that he brings in certain things at a particular time. Right? So it's really fit right now to bring in what unity is, because we need that unity. Right? We need that unity to endure. But let us just, what we're going to do, we're just going to rehearse a little bit of what pastor's job is. So we know what pastor's job is. Right? But we're just going to rehearse a little. So let's look over to Isaiah 44. We're going to look at verse 1 and 2. Say, yet now, hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, who I have chosen. So we see exactly Israel was chosen for a particular job. And this is nothing strange to us. Right? This scripture is nothing strange to us. Israel was chosen for a particular job to usher in this last work. This is what he is trained for. Was chosen for. This is what Yahweh say. Or who made you and formed you from the womb? Or who will help you? So it's showing Israel. Yahweh is telling Israel, hey, I am going to help you. And this is the same thing that Yahweh is telling every one of us here. Once we are in unity with the teaching that comes from Yahweh's house. He said, do not be afraid, because perilous times is ahead of us. When we look at the news and we see exactly the turmoil and the chaos that is taking place in the world, we know what is coming down. Only the house of Yahweh is coming down, is actually seeing what is coming down. The world is coming down. Man's government is coming down. And the house of Yahweh is what? Ascending, going up. He said, do not be afraid, Jacob, my servant, and Israel, and beloved Israel, who I have appointed. Let's go over one page over to Isaiah 40:49. He said, listen, O Isles, country, to me. Listen, you people from afar. Yahweh have called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother. He have made mention of my name. So you see, it's showing you more evidence that for someone to come and preach in the name of Yahweh, they have to be mentioned by Yahweh. So there whereby we could actually separate in the false prophet, who we know who is the false prophet, separating from Yahweh's prophet. See, Yahweh have called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother. He have made mention of my name, and he have made my mouth like a sharp sword. And this is something everyone could testify about. Pastor mouth is very sharp. Very sharp. Immediately when sin comes, he will snap it and destroy it. Because this is what he was bred for. Right? This is what he was bred for. In the shadow of his hands, he have hidden me and made me a polished shaft that is trained for this job, trained for these last days' work. In his quiver, that is among his workers, he have hidden me. And he said to me, you are my servant, O Israel, through whom I'll be glorified. Right, so let us look to see how Israel is glorifying Yahweh. Now, I'm going to read from Commentary on Law, a law commentary. And this book is a gem. Real pastor put out real knowledge in these books. So let us see. He said, speaking about glorifying Yahweh, he said Israel will glorify Yahweh. On page 274, right, he said, though these scriptures we have just read, we see that Yahweh's glory is indeed his name. And this is what Pastor did. He brought back, the name of Yahweh. What the name of Yahweh really means. Oh, it stands for his righteous character. Yahweh's character is revealed in his righteous laws. Just as Yahweh showed Moshe, the only way to see Yahweh's glory is to live by his every word. In this way, one will truly know Yahweh and will be known by Yahweh. So it's showing us how to be in unity. That is just one step in how to be in unity with Yahweh. Let's go on to verse 6. And he said, it is not enough that you should be my servant and raise up the tribe of Jacob. So we see this is what Pastor is going to do. Raise up the tribe of Jacob. Let's look up in side note E. Right? Because he's speaking about bringing back the tribe of Jacob to Yahweh. This is the job that Pastor is doing. The side note said, raise up again, set up, make to stand. So we see this is the work that Pastor is doing. He's bringing back these people to Yahweh. He said, and to restore the protected of Israel. Right? And protected, you see, side note G. And down to the bottom, that show you Psalms 91. Right? So he's speaking about restoring the protected of Israel. So let us see basically what it's referring to. Okay, Psalm 91. Say, under the shadow of Yahweh. Under your shadow, O Yahweh. He said, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And we know the shadow is what? What is the shadow of Yahweh? That's right, the feast days, the Sabbath day and the feast day. That is the protection. So basically what it's saying, Pastor is going to restore that protection to Israel. Now we know that protection was taken away through deception. Right, the Sabbath day and the feast day was taken away by deception. And that's what Daniel 7:25 said. And he will speak great words against Yahweh and will wear out the saints of Yahweh and think to change time. And that time we know is the feast. Or we could even say appointed times. Change the appointed times of Yahweh. Right, which we know is the feast. So let us go back to Isaiah 49. I will also give you for a light to the Gentile, so you may be my salvation to the end of the earth. And this is where we started to come in the picture here now. Right, this is where we sort of come in the picture. Now let's go back to Isaiah 44:3. Isaiah 44:3. This is where everyone started to get into the picture. The seed of Israel. It says, for I will pour water upon him who is thirsty and flood upon the dry ground. It says, I will pour my spirit upon your seed. Right? You see, Yahweh said he will pour his spirit upon the seed of Israel. And we know who the seed of Israel is. Those who is begotten by the message of Yahweh. So everyone here is the seed of Israel. Right? Everyone here is the seed of Israel. And it's us that spirit is going to be poured out on. But why? Why Yahweh want to pour the spirit on us? Right? Why Yahweh is going to pour his spirit out on the seed of Israel? And it's simple. right? Because the banner shows us exactly why he's going to pour all the Spirit upon us. So we can what? What it say? Say it again. That's right. So we can learn what to teach and teach what we have learned. And this is what Pastor is teaching us. Pastor is teaching us how to teach. So what we're looking at, when all these people come to join themselves together with Yahweh, they will be a stranger to the covenant. Right? We are going to teach these people. That is what we will call for, to teach these people, to bring these people into unity with Yahweh. Just as we are striving to be in unity with Yahweh, we are going to teach people how to be in unity with Yahweh. So these strangers, you know, when they come to the house of Yahweh, because what we have to imagine, someone leaving their country and coming to the house of Yahweh, and automatically that person have two strikes against them. Automatically that individual have two strikes against them. One, because he's a stranger, and two is because he's coming to the house of Yahweh. So automatically you have two strikes against you. But what we have to be very careful, because this is what Pastor is doing. Pastor is preaching to bring in these people. And when these people come here, we are the ones gonna teach these people, because there's no way. Let us say 1,000 people come. There's no way Pastor could sit down with these 1,000 people to teach them individually. Right? So this is our job. This is where we come in to teach these people. So what we have to be very, very careful, very, very careful about is not destroying the work of Israel Hawkins. This is what we have to be very, very, very careful about. Right? Because when a stranger, because in Exodus 23, just verse 9, just in the middle of the verse, it says, "For you know the heart of a stranger." Right? Exodus 23, verse 9, just the center of verse 9. It says, "For you know the heart of a stranger." And to actually know the heart of a stranger, you have to be a stranger. Because there's no way that someone can really understand what that individual goes through. He or she. You actually have to be that stranger to know what goes through that individual mind. You know, if a stranger come here, no, we are responsible for teaching these people. It have some of us 20 years, 25 years, whatever. Once we are here at Abel, we are the ones that when these people come in, they are looking to us, because we are setting that example. We are the ones that set that example. We are the ones that bring forth Israel Hawkins teaching. So these people could be in unity. So just imagine a stranger come, and a common word in the house of Yahweh is shalom. And we know what shalom means. Shalom means peace. Just imagine if a stranger come and that stranger tell you shalom. And we are here for 20 years and we like, you know, just walk away. What are we really teaching that individual? That individual is bringing peace, and we are turning away from that individual. How that stranger is going to feel? You know, we here at the house of Yahweh, when someone leave here, they're supposed to have the same joy that Jacob have. Remember what Jacob said? He said, "How wonderful is this place? How wonderful is this place? This is what this individual is supposed to have in his mind. Right? This is what this individual is supposed to have. They're supposed to say, how joyful is this place in the house of Yahweh? Because outside there's nothing, there's no survival outside the house of Yahweh. Nothing at all. So what these people are actually doing is turning to Yahweh for help. And we are the one responsible for that. To help every individual that comes to the house of Yahweh. So basically what it means to be in unity, because Yeshua showed us, he gave an example in Yohanan 14:9, where he said, Yeshua said to him, have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me, Philip? He said, he who have seen me have seen my Father. And this is what when people come to the house of Yahweh and they see us, they're supposed to be seeing Yahweh. They should be seeing Yahweh in our character. So what it means, what it really means to be in unity. Right? What it means to be in unity with Yahweh, it means that we have to think and act as Yahweh does. That is what unity means. We have to think and act just as Yahweh act. Right? And this is what Yahshua basically was speaking about. He said, if you see me, you see Yahweh. So Yahshua had that full character of Yahweh. The way Yahshua conduct himself is in the image of Yahweh. That is why Yahshua was the first. You know, Genesis 1:26 said, I will make man in my image and according to my likeness, and they will have that rulership. And Yahshua was the first to have that rulership because he is in unity with Yahweh. So, you know, when Pastor gets up here and starts, you know, teaching us how to be in unity with Yahweh, sometimes, you know, I'll see head going, you know, we are agreeing with Pastor. Yes, yes, yes. We are going, Pastor. But when we reach outside, you know, it could be something totally different. Yeah, and I will be thinking, well, didn't you just listen to what Pastor was saying? Don't you just listen to what Pastor is saying? So you see, it's totally opposite. So to be in unity, we have to think and act as Yahweh. Now, so we like Yahweh and Yahshua must have this unity, having developed the same mind. So we see what the spirit of Yahweh is developing that same mind that Yahweh have. Right? Because it said the law is spiritual. Right? And we have to be spiritually minded. So basically what is taking place, Yahweh has given us a portion. You see, he's given us a portion of his mind. This is what Yahweh is doing. Right, he's feeding us through the laws of Yahweh, and he's building that character just as he is. So he's giving us, when he said the spirit, because when we look at Daniel, when he say, I was in the spirit by the river Kabar, what actually was taking place? Daniel's mind was fully gross on Yahweh. His mind was locked in the laws of Yahweh. That is why Yahweh could have actually worked with this individual. Right, that is why Yahweh could have actually worked with this individual. And we have to be the same thing. For Yahweh to work with us, we have to have that same bond with Yahweh, which is unity. We have to have that same bond, because Yahweh is not going to work with us if we don't have that bond. And that bond comes through who? Who are we getting that feed, that nourishment from? Yahshua Hawkins. So binding ourselves, because this is what Genesis, remember when Pastor was going through the prophecies with donkey, it said, tethering yourself to the choicest branch. And when you look to the King James Version, when you look what that word means, it means bind to, joined to Yahweh, joined to Yeshua Hawkins, so we can make that connection with Yahweh. So in closing, let us just look at Philippians 2, verse 1 to 5. If anyone find the page, just a one page, not my turn, because Philippians is 922. Okay, praise Yahweh. Okay, Philippians 2, 1 to 5. It said, therefore, it said, the love and unity in Messiah. It said, therefore, if there is any consolation in the Messiah, if any comfort in love, if any fellowship in the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, complete my joy by being like-minded. He said, by being like-minded. Having the same love, being united in one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done by way of strife or empty glory, but in lowliness of mind, letting each esteem others better than themselves. Let every one of you look out not only for your own interests, but also for the interests of another. Let this mind be in you. He said, let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in us. Looking out for the interests of others. Which was also in Yeshua Messiah. So we see exactly how we have how we can become in unity with Yahweh. Right? Is having the same mindset. The way we think, the way we act. That is the only way we could be in unity with Yahweh. And that is the only way we can qualify for the great kingdom of Yahweh. So will you all please stand? I'd like to present to you a great priest in Yahweh's house, great Kohen Yeshua Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh. You may be seated. Talking about like minds and in unity, it's amazing how Yahweh lines things out, and Yahweh puts everything exactly how He wants it, in perfect timing. Because truly, you know, none of the priests discussed what we were bringing forth today with each other, but hand in hand, we're bringing forth the same message that Pastor said would be brought forth, and this is coming into unity, coming into complete unity inside Yahweh's house. And the title of my sermon today is, We Are to Be Leaders by Example. Cleansing ourselves thoroughly by putting off the old man. Be turning over to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22, and this is found on page 510. In verse 24. Proverbs 22, verse 24. It says, make no friendship with a quick-tempered man, and do not associate with a man who is easily angered. Now, we have to remember, inside the acceptance units, the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program, it teaches us that we could be guilty by association. And here we receive an instruction. We receive an instruction is not to make any friendship with a quick-tempered man, and do not associate with a man who is easily angered, or you will learn his ways. Remember, birds of a feather flock together, right? Those who we seek after, those who we hang around, we start to take on the characteristics. And if it's someone who's developing God worship within their characteristic, we start to take on that same thing. Or you will learn his ways and you will find yourself in a trap. And we're going to cover what that trap is exactly. Let's go ahead and turn the page over to Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21 and verse 23. It's just the next page over. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps himself from troubles. You know, a lot of times we bring a lot of things on ourselves because we simply don't refrain from speech. You know, one of the things that, you know, it set an example inside the book of Yahweh for us to pray is that Yahweh places a guard over the doors of our lips to where we learn how to maintain that self-control. Or as one of the men the other day repeated the words, we learn to choose our words before we spit them out. We truly learn how to practice that and refrain from speech. Because even a fool is thought to be wise if he remains silent. In verse 24 it says, proud, haughty, and a scorner are the names of him who acts with arrogant pride. Now turn over to Proverbs 29. I'm trying to cover everything in Proverbs right here that I need to cover inside the sermon so we can move fast and go through. But these things just mash up perfectly. Now one thing we have to be sure, when we study the book of Proverbs, a lot of times we read something and it might pop out in our mind, hey, that's exactly what that person is. We always associate a scripture with what somebody else is doing wrong. That's a mistake we're making. We have to look at the scriptures, and we have to start taking every correction, every admonishment, everything we see, and we have to take it and apply it to ourselves. We have to apply this to our personal beings and every action we do. In Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 22, we see an angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man abounds in transgression. All right, now that's just not man, okay? I hate to inform you, but you know, look at the side note B there. All right, an angry person, that's man, woman, child, anybody, stirs up strife. And a furious person abounds in transgression. A furious person abounds in transgression. What is transgression? But it's the breaking of Yahweh's laws. An angry person who cannot manage or control their anger, that's a sin. Very plain and simple. It is sin. Remember Scripture says, be angry but do not sin? Yes, we have the right to become frustrated when we see things taking place. When we see sin taking place, we have the right to be frustrated. If I see someone doing something wrong, it needs to be corrected. But the way I correct it and the way I conduct myself when I'm correcting that sin is going to determine whether or not it's done the way that Yahweh wants us to do it. We have to do it in according to a pattern, according to a set pattern, and the way we can do it in order to build someone up. If we just correct somebody in a group of people and we embarrass somebody in front of a group of people for maybe even making a mistake. A lot of times as adults, we do it with children. A child might do something accidentally and we blurt something out and we correct them, and it's very embarrassing to the child. And we see that a lot, especially with some of us men. When we deal with the children, we might correct them in front of other people. And next thing you know, the child shuts down. They don't want to do anything else. And now they have to be brought to the priest. Now the priest have to talk to them and try to encourage them and try to help them understand why it took place. Why did it take place? Yes, because of the behavior you had, but we all have to work together and come into that complete unity to where we're no longer making each other feel like we're not accomplishing the goal that we're trying to do. We're all here to accomplish the same goal. And my goal isn't to get myself into the kingdom of Yahweh. My goal and your goals should be to get the person sitting beside you into the kingdom of Yahweh, to be an example for them. Because if each and every one of us can manage to assist and help the person sitting behind us, sitting in front of us and sitting beside us to get into the kingdom of Yahweh, that's a true servant. That's a guaranteed spot in the kingdom of Yahweh if you're putting forth the effort and if you're putting forth the example of what Yahweh asks us to be. A man's pride in verse 23 will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will be held up. The humble in spirit will be held up. Now one thing I want to cover, and I want to show this because... and praise Yahweh for Yisrael Says program, because normally you have to go through all your notes and find where Pastor said it and then try to, you know, figure out exactly where in the book of Israel it was at. This just took a couple of minutes. This is the 10th book of Israel, Believe Into the One Sense. And I remember Pastor mentioning this. This is on page 68 and it's verse 85. Now, Pastor was talking about the Crusades. He was talking about the mentality, the thoughts, the way these people were actually thinking. All right. And here he says in verse 85, you know people. They don't even know where the word Lord comes from. It means Baal. But that word Baal means like a bull, a bully, or a killer, like the Nimrod system that you see described in Genesis chapter 10. But it means a bully or a killer in order to get his way. A terrorist, a terror who went out hunting, and he was hunting men, and out of course, this is what you see. This is what you see inside the characteristics of those who take on the personality or the character of a god. They take on these characteristics to where now I'm going to force you. And if you don't do what I say, then I'm going to go around and ruin your reputation. I'm going to destroy your reputation. I'm going to say everything I possibly can about you. That's what Satan does. Yisrael Hawkins, I'm going to destroy your reputation as much as I possibly can to the rest of this world to make it look like you're worse than Al Capone. That's the characteristic of Satan. That's what Satan takes on. And when we take on that same mentality, and we take on being a bully, trying to force other people to think like we do, right? We all have different personalities. We all come from many different nations. We all come from different backgrounds and lifestyles. The only thing that's required for us to do is uphold Yahweh's laws in unity, to work together in unity and learn to accept the differences between ourselves. Learn to accept these things. Now here, this is something you've probably seen this. If you've been on the internet, you've probably seen this. Now this is a great example of what Pastor was saying right here. On the very top, you have three men pulling a desk that has business written on it. And above that, you have the word boss. All right? And you can see the boss sitting there pointing. You go do this. Well, I also included the words Baal and Lord. Because that's what he's doing. A lord lords over someone. Forces them to go do something. Now look at the bottom here. It says leader. See where that arrow is pointing? This person out front. And I say person. That's man or woman. Out front, pointing. The other people are behind him following. This is a teacher, a motivator, a counselor. This is someone setting the example, leading by example of what should be done. Pastor doesn't ask the priest to get up here and teach something without teaching us what to teach first. Each and every one of us, he's taught us what to teach. We just have to do it. And once we learn how to do it, we get up from the seat and we put ourselves up front and we take on the position of a teacher and we lead. One thing every positive leader must have is humility. That's one thing we must have. And if we lack it, then we lack in achieving that character that Yahweh is wanting us to have. Now, there's many reasons why we lack. There's many things that come up, many different instances. We've all been in situations where there's friction, there's arguing, there's backbiting, there's slandering. But there's reasons for this. Now, Yahweh didn't call us out of this world to bring us here and sit here and, you know, like Pastor said, pray to a fly on the wall. He brought us here to be tested in trial, see whether we would obey him or whether we would not, to see if we would stand in our place when those trials and tests come. I'll be turning you over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. This is found on page 890. I want to discuss some of the reasons, some of the things were taking place, and Pastor's covered this in full detail. It's just when we're personally involved in a situation, and it's us that's now under the stress and the emotions are involved, sometimes we forget everything that's come together for 6,000 years that's brought it down to the point to where we're suffering through this certain trial right now at this certain point in time of our life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, let's look at verse 9. It says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh? Do not deceive yourselves. Neither fornicators, nor God worshippers, worshippers of Elohim, nor idolaters, nor men who commit sexual perversions with boys, nor men who commit sexual perversions with other men." Right? All these things are combined in together. And he says, don't deceive yourselves. None of these will inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. But he also goes on to say, neither thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. Neither revilers. Look over to side note K. Those who use abusive language. Those who use abusive language to try to get their point across. To try to force somebody to submit to what they thought should be done. To yell at somebody, you're nothing but a worthless piece of you know what. That's not the character Yahweh wants on us. And we all, each and every one of us, when we're emotionally involved in a situation, we all fall short of having that. But all these things right here, nor drunkards. That's not just drunk with alcohol. Remember, Revelation speaks of being drinking, participating in the wine of the wrath for fornication. All these things that cloud the thinking, that cloud the mind, to where we can't rationally come up with a decision without allowing our emotions to take over. All these things are drunkenness. They make it to where we're no longer sober-minded. We're not thinking properly. We're not thinking straight. Because if we were thinking straight, we would be thinking what? Law. Exactly. Praise Yahweh. And such were some of you. Such were some of us. I believe that such were all of us. All right. All of us were in this position. But now you are washed. Now you are sanctified. Now you are justified in the name Yahshua Messiah and by the Spirit of our Father. Justified. How are we justified? Don't just saying, I'm baptized in the house of Yahweh, I'm justified. No. You're justified by being a doer. By doing, being a doer. And that's just not when I'm sitting in front of people or I'm sitting in the sanctuary. It's being a doer when I'm behind closed doors, when I'm at home with my family, when I'm on the work site, when I'm working with other people. I have to learn to maintain that character. I have to learn to maintain that self-control. If I need to go yell at somebody, Pastor's already told us, go find yourself a closet, close the door, and yell all you want to. If we can't handle the stress, Yahweh has given us counselors in these last days. If we have not, it's because we ask not. And if we ask with the wrong intentions, we're not going to be blessed. Counselors are set up to assist each and every one of us on our personal problems, not on how to deal with that other person's problem that you think they need to be dealt with. They have counselors for that. But when something's going wrong in your personal life, even if it is what somebody's treating you, the way somebody's treating you, the way you're being conducted towards, we need to find out, how do I need to respond to that situation? And if I've already made a mistake and I've responded in a negative way, I need to get with my counselors and find out, how do I correct this? How do I learn to become in complete unity? Because I know that I'm being here tried and tested. Does everyone need to overcome those things? Yes, we all need to overcome those things. Short temperaments, the way we conduct ourselves towards other people. But if we react negatively towards that situation, we need to examine ourselves and realize we need to work on that. In verse 12, all lawful things are permissible for me, but not all things are advantageous. That means helping, giving an advantage. That's what it means, being advantageous, being advantaged, taking an advantage of, all right? All things are lawful, but it doesn't mean that, you know, if I perform Yahweh's law, it's a blessing towards me. But there's many times I can perform Yahweh's law, and it's a greater blessing to the person sitting beside me, you know, because I can become a blessing to them, and I can be a blessing to them. All lawful things are permissible for me, but I will not be overpowered by any of them. Yes, you know, clean foods, healthy foods, you know, those things are lawful. You know, donuts are lawful as long as they're clean. But to be overpowered them, to where now you forget about eating, you know, the foods that we actually need to be able to work all day and sustain energy all day, and we forget to do those things, so now by halfway through the day we're too tired to even pick up our hands to do the work. We're too tired to lead by example. All right? All things that are lawful, we can't be overpowered by them. We have to learn self-control, and that comes with everything. Even lawful lust, we can't be overpowered. Even if it's something lawful that we can achieve, all right, we can't take away from the things that we're required to do in order to achieve that. If we do, then it becomes unlawful lust. Food is for the stomach, and stomach is for the food, but Yahweh will destroy both of them, and now the body. It says, now the body, it is not for sexual impurity, but for Yahshua, and Yahshua for the body. Now, there's a certain reason we have to understand what he said right there. And Yahweh has both raised up Yahshua and will also raise us up in his power. Do you not know that your bodies are the members of Messiah? Would I take the members of Messiah and make them members of a prostitute? By no means. We're made up of many members, each and every one of us, but fitly joined together in unity, we're a body. So essentially, we're one in unity in Yahweh's laws. Or do you not know that the one who joins himself with a prostitute is the one body with her? For Yahweh says the two will become one flesh. That's not in unity. All right? That's not in unity in Yahweh's laws. That's becoming in one flesh. That means you're bringing genetic. On a molecular level, you're now bringing genes. You're now combining these things, and you're becoming one flesh. Whatever they have, you have. Whatever you have, they have. It becomes one, and it becomes confusion. Or do you not know that the one who joins himself to a prostitute is one with body with her? For Yahweh says the two will become one flesh. But the person who is united with Yahweh is one with him in spirit. According to the laws of Yahweh, they have become one with Yahweh in character. In character, we have put on the character of Yahweh. In other words, we've come to the house of Yahweh at Abel, and we've allowed Yahweh to actually work with us. We've allowed Yahweh to make us into his image and build that character that he wanted from the beginning. For thousands of years, we allow the house to shape us and mold us and not tell Yahweh, no, that's not the way I need to do it. That's not what Yahweh is asking for us to do. In verse 18, flee from sexual immorality. All other sins that a man commits are outside his body, but he who commits sins sexually sins against his own body. Now, what does this have to do with what I was speaking on before this scripture? A man who sins, a woman who sins, sins against their own body. Leviticus 18, verse 23. Leviticus 18, verse 23. It speaks of confusion. It lists all these sins that takes place where a person sins against their body. And it creates confusion inside the mind. What we have to understand is when we see anger, rage, hostility coming out, what we're seeing is generation after generation after generation of sin. Sexual sin, unclean foods, these things being passed down from generation to generation to generation to each and every one of us. So it's not just pointing out the fact, hey, that person gets angry all the time, or this person loses control. It's understanding why. Why are these things taking place? Why do I lose self-control? If my child does something and I yell at him or call him a name, why do I act like that? Very plain and simple. It's written right here. Because of the sins that's taken place, not just in my life, but the generations before me. We're all dealing with these things. But even with what Cain was doing, Yahweh said, you must overcome it. The desire to sin is with you, but you must. You can overcome it. And that's what we're doing. We're overcoming. We're overcoming this. You have to understand, 2,000 years, the laws of Yahweh have been taken away from mankind. This is the first generation, the first work of Yahweh ever to have to restore an entire world back to the original way that Yahweh wanted it in the beginning. And we have to take it from the worst part. Yahweh says, it's not going to be easy. I'm going to make it go to the full extent to where if I don't step in and stop it, mankind's going to destroy themselves. But here you go. Here you go. I'm giving you a group of people. Yisrael Hawkins, I'm giving you a group of people. I've given you a foundation to stand on, the laws and the prophets. And I'm giving you a little assistant over here. All right, the donkey's colt. It's going to help you carry this burden. They're going to learn to work together because they're going to tie themselves to you by choice. They're going to choose to work with you, and they're going to choose to stop complaining about everyone else around them, and they're going to start examining themselves and setting themselves before Yahweh. That's what confessions are for. We don't come before Yahweh and confess everyone else's sins. We come before Yahweh and we testify against ourselves. That shouldn't just be in confession. We need to testify against ourselves in every aspect. Every time we're involved in a situation, examine ourselves. How did I react to it? Do I need to apologize? We need to stand up and actually do that if we have need to. The acceptance unit. The acceptance unit. Now this is on page 3. I just want to cover a few things inside the acceptance unit. This is probably my most loved book out of all the Peaceful Solution books because it really makes you examine yourself. All right? It makes you realize where you're going wrong. You know, when you deal with situations and you're dealing with other people, you know, sometimes you know you don't understand when you're being intolerant, and sometimes you don't understand when maybe something needs to be done. This helps us understand it. In verse 3, now this is one thing that pastors try to hit us on many times. On page 3, this is the last paragraph. The acceptance unit, page 3, the last paragraph. It says, accepting yourself means realizing that you are a unique human being. Your ability to make a difference in your life and the lives of others depends only on what? Only on the amount of time and effort that you put into your studies. That's it. How much time and effort we put into our studies. And if we're studying and examining ourselves thoroughly, we don't have time to study and examine everyone else's mistakes. We correct when sin takes place. We don't nitpick mistakes because we try to build up each other. We try to uplift each other higher, higher than what we esteem ourselves. Look over to page, if you have your acceptance unit, you can look over with me. Page 53. Page 53, building relationships. A relationship is built when mutual interaction connects two or more people as belonging or working together. So this can be a personal relationship, this could be a working relationship, a professional relationship. And then here in the next paragraph we have rules, rules, rules. Rules. That's a word we should love. Rules. Now whether you're aware of it or not, all relationships, both professional and personal, have rules or guidelines that govern behavior and interaction. Many workplaces and most schools have a code of conduct that states that there must be verbal and physical respect for others at all times. Physical, verbal respect. Physical and verbal abuse, as well as sexual language or behavior, are inappropriate and prohibited. Relationships such as those between teacher and student or doctor and patient are professional, and the rules governing their behavior are meant to keep people from being abused and mistreated. When the rules that govern personal relationships are compromised, the result is also abuse that could range from verbal to physical and sexual. Sexual behavior between family members, for example, is not only immoral, but it's devastating. It violates the bond of trust and must exist between members of the family, of the same family. There must be a bond of trust built between members of a family. To reach their full potential, all family members must have a safe, secure environment in which to grow. This can only be achieved when everyone interacts in a moral way and there is mutual care and concern. You also have an obligation to follow the rules when interacting with others. Needless to say, you do not have the right to physically, now listen, we don't have the right to physically, verbally, or sexually abuse anyone for any reason. You must demonstrate the same respect to others that you want them to demonstrate to you. Do not take people for granted. And we can't do that. And that's really what it shows. We can't take anyone in Yahweh's house for granted because Yahweh called each and every one of us here to do a job. And each and every one of us are being tightly fit right into the position He wants us to be in. And we can't take it upon ourselves to try and destroy someone's effort into what they're trying to fit into. Be respectful towards other adults who have authority to guide and teach you, such as your parents, other family members, or teachers. This means follow directions the first time given. Being humble when corrected, and doing all that is asked to do the best of your ability. I've got one more thing here I want to read. This is page 73 from the acceptance unit. And this acceptance unit, now this goes completely right along with unity. Because what's one thing that we're probably lacking that's keeping us from reaching that full unity that Yahweh wants us to have? It's acceptance. Right? It's acceptance. Accepting the limitations other people might have that we may not have. Accepting the fact that, you know, I may have a limitation. Somebody else may be great at doing something and I may not be. You know, we just have to accept those things. In the second paragraph on page 73, here it says, you must determine not to allow how others treat you to change your positive or moral character. No matter how we're treated, how an employer treats us, how anyone responds to us, we can't allow that to change the goals that we have set for ourselves. We can't allow that to change how I react to my job that I volunteered for in Yahweh's house. And everything's volunteer. We chose to be here. We choose to be here. We're free moral agents, and we are choosing to suffer right along with one another in order to build the character that Yahweh wants us to have. Studies show that when people are mistreated, there is a tendency to either take advantage of others or take revenge against those who are intentionally or cruel. Both of these are poor choices. Bullying someone because someone bullied you will not change the way that you are being treated. We have to be very careful not to take on that characteristic, not to take on that mentality. Well, you know, this is the way I see other people doing it, this is the way I'm going to do it. No, we have to do it the way Yahweh said to do it. And just because somebody's doing it the wrong way doesn't mean we do it that way. We do it the way that Yahweh showed us to do it. And many times we fall into scenarios or situations to where we're afraid to stand up. We're afraid to stand up against a bully, or we're afraid to talk to someone that we see maybe being verbally abusive or physically abusive or situations like this. And sometimes we're afraid to do it because you know, we may be afraid of how they react towards us. You know, we may have a little bit of pride in ourselves. We may be worried that, well, they'll go around destroying my reputation next. That's nothing to be afraid of. What we have to do is make sure we guard each and every individual here. Remember, if we don't stand up against sin, we are guilty by association. If we see other people bucking up against authority, we need to make sure that we set the example of how to submit to authority. If we see other people mistreating the people that are working with them, We need to be the example of how to conduct ourselves with one another. If we create a ripple effect inside the house of Yahweh, all of these negative things that we think about each other and every negative thing we think about our supervisors or our fellow workers, the positive ripple effect will flush all that out. It'll push it out of Yahweh's house. If we can do it together, we can push it out and we can be ready to stand in our place that Yahweh has for us. We don't want 2 billion people coming here and saying, whoa, these people are harsh. These people are rude with each other. No, we want 2 billion people coming here. We want to be able to go out to other worlds. We want to go out throughout the universe and show them what true unity in Yahweh's house is. And true unity in Yahweh's house is that I'll always put the needs of you ahead of my own. Because my own will be taken care of as long as I learn to love each and every one of you the same as Yahweh, the same as the witness loves each and every one of us. If you'll all please stand, I'll go ahead and close there. And I'll turn the services over to closing prayer.